Have you ever had the experience of having a younger sibling or a child ask you, "How do I do this algebra problem?" Scratch my head a little bit and think, "I know how to do it, but I can't explain it." Do we really know how to do it if we can't explain it? There is something about articulating an explanation that helps me to make it part of who I am that just doesn't register unless I can explain it to you. Because if I'm explaining something to Dwylan and Dwylan starts looking puzzled, I know I'm not connecting or I'm being illogical. If we think an algebra problem is hard to define, try defining manhood. You have been discussing that the last couple of weeks, looking at it from a Genesis account. And we're going to continue looking at it a little bit this morning, a little more from Genesis. But as I think about manhood, if we do what these, if each of us as a group goes up on Mount Washington, does that make us a man? The scripture doesn't say you need to climb Mount Washington or Mount Everest. Why is it that in the history of the human family, men have always had to climb the mountains, sail the oceans, go to the moon? Is there any more explanation needed other than they're there? Or space isn't there? And so we have to conquer it. The scripture has a lot to say about who a man is, what a man is. We were designed by the Creator to lead, not to dominate. Hollywood has picked up on what a man is. I'm dating myself, I suppose, but I remember the camo ads. You would see them in papers. And it was always a John Wayne type of a man, cowboy hat, riding off into the distance to save somebody. Tough-looking man, cigarette hanging out of his mouth, as though that would add anything. But what were they trying to capture? What were they trying to conquer? Little children stand in awe. Women are impressed as they think about a real man. I'd like to start with a story. This is partially fiction and partially fact. The names are fabricated. Sam Schmuck was determined to be a good father. He was determined to be a good husband. And as he was leaving one evening to take some of his family on a special outing, there was a crisis in the family, and one of the children was very upset, and soon there were more children upset, and soon Mrs. was upset. But Sam and the group that were going to leave, he decided, we have to leave. Mrs. was in tears, but he left. They had an okay evening. They were sitting in my office, and Sam was explaining to me what happened, but I didn't get upset. I didn't get mad. And I felt so sorry for my wife as we left. I could hardly leave. I just looked at Sam Schmuck and said, "Did your wife know that before this evening?" He just looked at me. I never thought of telling her. But I didn't get upset. I didn't do anything wrong. He had learned well from Adam. He thought if he didn't do anything wrong, he must be doing something right. Do you fellows understand? Can you connect to that? I know there have been times in my life when I thought, well, I won't get involved. And then like Sam Schmuck. I didn't get involved where I should have gotten involved. God calls us to be men of action. Not just avoidance of the wrong things, but a willingness to get involved where I may not know all the answers, where it looks threatening. You have looked at passivity in the last couple weeks. I wasn't here, but I listened to it online. And I'm impressed as I think about what God has in mind. I have never climbed mountains that are snow and ice covered. The challenges I faced were completely different. It's sort of who I am, but it was I know the feeling to be on top of the mountain, of taking a large organization and crossing all kinds of hurdles. The hurdles I crossed weren't snowy, treacherous mountains, but mountains of resistance and opposition, physicians upset, physicians angry. I know the feeling. Been there, done that. Men were designed by God to be social and spiritual leaders. We exhibit that in different ways. Some of us climb mountains. Some of us are successful in business. But to be a social and spiritual leader, when men abandon that leadership, there's consequences to bear. When this pursuit is taken away, chaos ensues. If we aren't willing to get involved, if Mr. Schmuck was not willing to get involved with his family, there was chaos that ensued. But what I'm just spellbound with is the fact that Mr. Schmuck knew what to do. He intuitively knew what to do. Mr. Schmuck hadn't read a lot of books about it, but intuitively he knew that he should get involved. But in order to make sure he didn't do something wrong, he didn't do anything, and chaos ensued in his family. In our society today, masculinity is almost frowned upon, in one sense of the word, compliments of the feminist movement. I'd like to read some verses from Isaiah. The Lord of heaven's armies will take away from Jerusalem and Judah everything they depend on, every bit of bread and every drop of water, all their heroes and soldiers, judges and prophets, fortune tellers and elders, army officers and high officials, advisors, skilled craftsmen, and astrologers. I will make boys their leaders and toddlers their rulers. People will oppress each other, man against man, neighbor against neighbor. Young people will insult their elders, and vulgar people will sneer at the honorable. In those days, a man will say to his brother, since you have a coat, you be our leader. Take charge of this heap of ruins. But he will reply, no, I can't help. I don't have any extra food or clothes. Don't put me in charge. For Jerusalem will stumble, and Judah will fall, because they speak out against the Lord and refuse to obey him. They provoke him to his face. The very look on their faces gave them away. They display their sin like the people of Sodom and don't even try to hide it. They are doomed. They brought destruction upon themselves. Tell the godly that all will be well for them. They will enjoy the rich reward they have earned. But the wicked are doomed, for they will get exactly what they deserve. Childish leaders oppress my people, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, your leaders misled you. They sent you down the wrong road. This is a sad description of what happens when we don't get involved, for whatever reason. When we as men don't get involved. It's the type of thing that we may not be doing sins of omission or commission, but we are avoiding. And in the avoiding, society pays the price. And he's suggesting that if men aren't leading, there will boys, the boys will be leaders. Or trying to fill in the gap. Today, we see men become confused, directionless, troubled, if we don't take rise to the challenge. Women suffer and must fight for equality and protection. When we as men become confused, troubled, women have to fight for what is basic. I'm just fascinated as I look at Christianity compared to other ways of looking at life and the value that Christianity places on women. Family life is harmed. Children are hurt. Society becomes troubled. As the men go, so goes society. It is the type of thing that if we don't step up to the plate, there's stiff consequences. The male leadership of Genesis is not natural, but supernatural with specific responsibilities. Who will meet these responsibilities? I remember well in my previous career, I had a management team of 13. And when I would appoint someone, I could give someone a title and dub the now you are a manager. And there are times that the person would come back, Dan, you've got to make them respect me. What shall I do? Write a memo saying thou shalt respect Jim Schmuck because he is now a manager? The manager himself, herself, needed to step up to the plate and carry out the responsibilities. Leadership, manhood is something that we have to earn every day. In my previous career, every morning I went to 3300 Gallows Road for almost 30 years. It was like it was my first time to Gallows Road. I had to re-earn my position, and that's how it is in our families. When the pastor of this congregation steps behind this pulpit, he can't go on what he did 2 years ago or 5 years ago. He has to be credible as a leader now, today. And fellas, when we face our families, we have to do it. Yeah, we have history, but we can't go on history. We have to carry out the responsibilities. Male leadership of Genesis is not natural, but supernatural with specific responsibilities. Will to obey, work to do, a woman, a wife to love and care for. Those three responsibilities A will to obey, a work to do, a woman to love and care for. Sort of summarizes it. If we don't do it, if we as men don't do it, who is going to do it? Leadership is not something that I can tell you how to do. I don't know what leadership in the Esch family looks like. Oh, I sort of know. But I can't step into the Esch family and take over. Or the Weaver family, or you fill in the blanks. Because I don't know the Esch family and I don't know the Weaver family. And so we can learn from each other. We can learn how to obey, how to do the work, how to love our wives. But how to do it, God was brilliant in his design. He knew we would be bored if it would be a simple recipe. And so, whether you're 30 or 60, Emma and I have lived together for almost 41 years. And there are times that I've commented to Emma that I think I've about got this figured out, and then she throws me a curve. And I discover I haven't learned very much yet. And I'm still learning. And look at what that does. I can't sit back on my laurels and think, huh, I've arrived. I've mastered this thing. Let's go on to the next challenge. Conquered Mount Washington. Let's make it Pike's Peak next, and then Mount Everest. The challenges continue. Male leadership is cultural, not creational. Is the type of thing that it is designed by God. But there is one thing I want you to know. The head of every man is Christ. The head of Christ is God. For the first man didn't come from woman, but the first woman came from man. The creation account itself, as you looked in the last few weeks, man is designed, masculinity is designed for leadership. Male leadership is a result of the fall, not a result of God's design, is what we so often hear. But it is the type of thing that male leadership was a design. It's the very fabric of who we are. We love the challenge. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If we do not look at the value of our wives from a scriptural perspective, it's so easy for us as men to think, I'm the man. And you, Mrs., need to learn to submit. I thought Emma has said it so well when she said many years ago we were talking about what submission is. And she said, I don't think it would be possible for a woman. No, she didn't say it wouldn't be possible. She said it would be extremely difficult for a woman not to submit to a godly servant leadership. But I've heard so many times, I've heard women say, in order for us to submit, we need something to submit to. Adam and Jesus Christ. Adam and Christ stand against each other as two great figures at the entrance of two worlds, two creations, the old and the new. And in their actions and fates lie the decisions of all men are comprehended in them. That's simply a quote. And then from the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:45, the scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later on. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like earthly man, and heavenly people are like heavenly man. Just as we are not like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. I want to inject just a comment before we move on. There were several attempts in the last several centuries to make male leadership a cultural thing. Communism was sort of an example of that, in that it's a picture of a man taking power and abusing it. Women suddenly had universal daycare, job market equality, abortions readily available. But the cost to society, to the communistic society that collapsed from an internal vacuum, was phenomenal. The kibbutzes in Israel were another illustration of that. There were no gender roles in some of these kibbutzes, in that everyone was considered equal, everyone was considered, I guess basically the way to say it is that there were no gender roles, and it wasn't long until the women were demanding that we go back to the old gender roles. And then the feminism in the Western world would be another example of that. Let's look at Adam, the two Adams. They are leaders of two distinct spiritual destinies for all humanity. A few more verses from Romans 5. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. That happened because Abraham believed in God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to them, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at 100 years of age he figured his body as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. They are also leaders of two distinct masculine destinies. The first Adam represents a manhood set on a natural course based on an instinct, human reason, reaction, and not revelation. The first Adam represents a manhood set on a natural course based on an instinct, human reason, and reaction, not on revelation. That draws life from others without transcendent meaning. Transcendent is simply beyond ourselves. It transcends our human experience. A living soul, nothing more. The second Adam, or Jesus Christ, represents a manhood set on heavenly course, yielded to the revelation, not personal instinct, human reasoning, or reaction, that empowers others. Am I life-giving? It looked to me like it was a pretty life-giving experience at the top of Mount Washington. And now my question is, how life-giving am I in my family, in my church? It's one thing when we've conquered Mount Washington. That's the easy one. Didn't look very easy. How do I empower others? Full of transcendent meaning and a life-giving spirit. how these two masculine identities play out practically. Adam's manhood becomes conventional manhood, which focuses on, am I going too fast? Which focuses on what a man does, competition with other men, temporal power. Adam, the first Adam, focuses on what a man does, competition with other men, temporal power, personal rewards, look out for number one, self, and personal success. Jesus' manhood becomes authentic manhood, which focuses on, and we'll go through the list, what a man is. I want to pause on this one just a moment. We're running out of time, but I just want to briefly pause. What the difference is between what a man does and what a man is. As a leader, leadership is not something we do. It is something we are. If I don't have leadership qualities, it doesn't matter what I do. I'm still not going to be a leader. I can follow the right recipe, I can memorize the right steps. But unless I'm willing to carry that responsibility with integrity, integrity is who I am when no one else is watching. Unless I carry out my responsibilities with integrity, leadership is who we are, not what we do. Manhood, it's the important thing is who we are. Community with other men. Transcendent purpose. A purpose beyond ourself. Eternal rewards. A focus on others. And significance. The first Adam fell into passivity. The second Adam rejected passivity. My story at the beginning of Mr. Schmuck was passivity at its best. Jesus Christ calls us to reject passivity. You want a challenging life? Push through beyond passivity. The woman was convinced in Genesis 3:6. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her, so she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. Though he was God, Philippians 2:6-8, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Real men reject social and spiritual passivity. Real men reject social and spiritual passivity. A leader needs to earn his leadership credentials every day. It's an ongoing thing. I don't arrive on the pinnacle. You three guys didn't stay on the top of Mount Washington. And now you're on to other challenges. And that's the same way in our families, in our life. Real men reject passivity and rise to the challenge. Thank you.